Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the 54th episode of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, I had a very special guest in the podcast chair today. I say that about everyone, but he's extra special because I've interviewed him loads of times before. It was, of course, professional MMA fighter Ian Garry. I always say it, I love when anyone comes in to talk on the podcast because more often than not, they're going to tell me something that I didn't know before, and that's my favourite thing. But I also do love when it's someone that I've interviewed before or I know, that it's kind of like a comfort zone thing. So I was delighted that Ian was able to come in and join us on the podcast this week. For anyone that doesn't know who Ian Garry is, he's a professional MMA fighter. He is signed to Cage Warriors. He's currently undefeated in the welterweight division, and he is, we would say, a top prospect. Anyone who knows anything about Cage Warriors, not only are they one of the biggest MMA promotions in Europe, but they're also the gateway to the UFC and have signed some of the UFC's biggest stars, including one Conor McGregor. So it's a very exciting time for Ian. It's a very exciting time for his gym, and it's a very exciting time for Irish MMA. He's in a group of young, upcoming, fantastic athletes who will no doubt make an imprint on not only the MMA scene, but UFC as well. Here's hoping. So we got to talking about the journey so far and delve a little bit inside his mind. Ian does not stop talking. He will tell you that himself when you hear the podcast, but he is an absolute pleasure to be around. He's 23 years old and he's such a massive insight into life, where he wants to be in life, what he wants to achieve, his goals. Really was a fantastic chat. So without further ado, let me leave you go to enjoy the 54th episode of the First Exchange podcast with professional MMA fighter Ian Garry. Welcome, Ian Garry. So excited. I always like obviously love everyone that comes in here, but when it's like from my comfort zone, it's even better.
Look, you know you're going to get a conversation out of me. It's hard to shut me up, so well, definitely get it.
Shane, our producer here, every time like, you know, I'm leaving the studio, he's like, who have we got next week? You know, and I'm always like, oh, it's this person, that person. And then I was like, I've got Ian Garry in next week. MMA fighter, we do not need to worry. He is going to chat. It's going to be fun. We'll be fine.
I've been like that since day one. Like, literally, like, every single parent-teacher meeting was like, Ian's lovely. He just needs to know when to stop talking. And they're like, my mom and dad would sit me down and be like, Ian, like, you need to stop. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It really isn't. Like, I've said it to all of them. They're just like, no. I'm not changing myself. They can pull up on it. If they don't like it, then that's their fault.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's paid off because, you know, it's worked out well for you in your MMA career.
It has. It's working well so far, and it will hopefully continue to work there once we keep putting the graft in and keep moving and keep doing what we're doing. I'll keep talking. I don't think I'll ever stop that. The lads in the gym call me The Lip.
No, is that your little name?
That's my nickname in the gym. Like, the nickname is The Future outside of the gym, but in the gym, it's The Lip. Like, and you can understand why. It's because I'll walk in, I'll just look at someone, and lately it's been my mate Leon Hill. I'm just looking at him going, you're getting it today. Like, you are getting it. And he just looking at me going, stop it. And I'm like, smashed. You better bring it.
I'm glad to hear Leon is down with you guys.
Yeah, Leon's been putting a lot of hard graft in. He's been working with me a lot because he's near enough my weight. Like, yeah. And he wants to learn. He's a dog and I like him a lot.
I really like Leon. I know Leon a long time since the Drogheda days when he was like really young, you know what I mean? And it's funny because I always saw something in him, you know what I mean? I always saw like, if he sticks at it and he trains hard, he really could do something.
He's a grafter. He puts the hard work in and he wants to get better and he wants to succeed. Mm-hmm. Like, and I brought him over to my last fight with me, and then he ended up getting a short notice fight. Yeah. And then honestly, I nearly punched him basically, like, I know it's no excuse. Like, look, he lost, that was it. He was drained from a weight cut. We understand that, that's fine. But the fucker ordered a pizza the first night or this, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there going, like, I was like, you should have just ordered a chicken, and he kind of knew it, but I just didn't say it to him, and I left him at it, and then he got the call, and he was sitting in the bath like that, going, yeah, I'll get there, bro, making these, making noises to get him through.
Hey, stay ready. They don't say it for no reason.
I told him, I sat him down before the fight, before the camp, and I said, look, I said, I don't mean this in a bad way. I said, but you're going to get bashed in this camp. And I said, I mean that as a friend. I said, you're going to get, like, put through your paces. Like, I'm not going to go easy on you. And he was like, don't. I don't want that. And he was like, go hard. He was like, do exactly what... He was like, you've got to fight. He's like, if I can't handle it, then that's my fault. And it's exactly what he did. He's gotten, in the last, like, whatever, 3 months since that fight and onto this one, he has improved so much, and he's just going to keep improving. But, like, stuff like that, that's basically all the lads in the gym. Like, we have this really good atmosphere in the gym, and it's from the bottom to the top. It's brought in from Chris and Tom all the way down to kind of literally, and the newest member of the gym when they walk in the door, everyone's showing the same respect. Obviously, like, there's just certain groups, like, but the MMA lads, we're all mates. Like, we literally train with each other every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all going to events with each other. We're traveling to different countries fighting. So we just click more.
Yeah.
And we all have the same kind of interests and we talk about things, but everyone gets roasted. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. You, like, everyone gets slagged. Like, someone, I remember there was a kid in the gym, and Chris and a couple of lads were going at me. It was my day to get it, so everyone was going at me. And this little kid jumped in and said something about me, and everyone stopped. And Chris just goes, hold on a fucking minute. Who are you? He goes, shit rolls downhill, kid. And he goes, you've got to earn your spot here. And everyone just started laughing. But, like, it's just that's the way the gym is. We're all just ready
it's
to go.
It's funny, right, how, like, I remember when I started jiu-jitsu, and I was like, it took me about 6 months. And then I was just sort of, like, overwhelmed at, like, gym dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you've never experienced before. It's not like going, and I don't care if I offend just regular gym goers, but it's not the same.
It's not, no.
The camaraderie and the team spirit is not the same.
No, it's not.
You know?
Like, when you see people go to the gym, like, most, like, if I was going, like, when I go to my strength and conditioning, if I'm not with my strength and conditioning coach, John Carroll, I will put my headphones in and I go into my own little world.
Yes.
When I go down to the gym, the only time I do that is when I have a fight coming up and I want to, like, look, lads, I don't want to talk to you today. I need to get focused. I need to work. I need to get my mind right. Like, I'm going to do in a fight. Like, when we do sparring, like, and other than that, I'm walking in. The minute I walk in the door, I'm like, you're getting smashed. What are you looking at? So you better watch it today or else you're getting thumped around. And it's just instantly just going at people and the lads love it. It creates a back and forth. Like, it's like a family, like, especially all the MMA lads, because we're as I said, we're always training together and we're always meeting up, like, once, twice a day. It's like you're at home. Like, it's like I'm slagging my little brothers or my cousins or something.
Yes.
It's like I can literally just say what I want and you aren't going to. And if you want to do something, guess what? You get to try punch me in the face in 5 minutes. Like, this is why everyone's
try,
like,
being the operative word.
Try is the most important word. Look, there's a reason I'm this fucking pretty, right? I don't get hit. I hate it. Whatever happened, Chris, I was doing rounds with Chris recently and he caught me an up kick to the face when I was coming down. Just something that wouldn't normally happen. Like, it wasn't even an up kick. It was like just a bang of a foot. And I just had pissing blood out my nose. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. If I get hit, I get annoyed. And people know that. And that's hasn't happened in fights. I mean, there's literally one fight I've come out of where I had a Velcro mark on my cheek. And that has been it. And I've had 11 fights and I've had one Velcro mark. Look, I don't mind breaking bones or breaking hands or feet or whatever it is, but don't touch my fucking face.
Leave the face alone.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the MMA career, because at 23, undefeated and, let's say, up there as one of Cage Warrior's top prospects. For anyone that, you know, knows anything about Cage Warriors, it is without question the stepping stone to the UFC, which is the pinnacle of the sport. Mm-hmm. I imagine that is the goal destination for you.
Yeah, well, as you said, 23, but this is a nice one. I'll start this conversation on this one. I woke up to a text yesterday from Chris and he was like to me, happy birthday, kid. He was like, by your 24th birthday, you'll be in the UFC. And I went, Oh, geez, that sounds good. That's got a good ring to it. I was like, that might be good on a t-shirt. 23 and in the UFC. That sounds good. And I was like, right, that's it. I'm rolling with that. Yeah, the goal for me is, I've said it from day one, is I want to be in the UFC. I'm not in this sport to make money. Like, that's not what it is. Obviously, the more successful I am, the more money I'm going to have. And, like, if I'm in the UFC, like, it, like, fame and fortune comes with that. That's not something I'm looking at. I'm not something I strive for. It's like, I want to be famous. I want to have this much money. Benefits.
Yeah.
Of being able to live off what I love to do.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely like a kind of a safety blanket on all. It means I don't have to go out and look and worry about earning money. I can put everything aside and just do this and spend as much time growing and learning and getting to where I want to be in the sport. And that's literally my aspect on this, is like, right, I'm in this to be the best fighter I can be and to prove myself against the best. And like, I just believe that I'm better than most people. And even if I come up against me, say, I just know I'll find a way to beat me. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I am. That's my mentality. And no one can change that. I have a lot of confidence. Everyone always says it, like, he's confidence. Like, what if people who don't see confidence for confidence and they want to take it as cockiness, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. That's your fault, not mine. I'm not, like, anyone who knows me knows I'm not an arsehole. Well, I can be. But it's just the hours and hours and hours of hard work I put in just fuel this confidence. So, like, I'll walk into a room and it's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to be confident and I'm going to take the piss out of this. I was like, if anyone wants to say anything, try me. Like, try it. But it's purely like, I have a belief. I know how good I can potentially be. Mm-hmm. And I know I have the drive and the will to back it up with the hard work in the gym. And like, I'd actually like to sit here and say I'm the hardest worker in the gym, but I'd be lying.
Who is the hardest worker in
James
the gym?
James Webb. I'd love to say it, but every single time he comes over, he's 3 sessions a day. He's getting as much as he can do in, because I understand he's leaving his family and his friends to come over and train here. But, and like, all he wants to do is train, because when he goes home, he'll relax and he'll get his one in a day or whatever. But like, I'm like, I was like, James, all right, I've got to do 3 sessions today now as well. I was like, otherwise he'll be telling me and I'll feel like shit if I don't do 3 sessions. I'm like, oh, fine, I got to go get a good night's sleep, because if he's coming over, I have to train more. So
is that your competitive edge?
Yeah, that's me going, oh.
Where does that come from? Where have you ever sat and wondered why you are so competitive?
Yeah, I just want to be better than everyone. And I know that sounds really weird and you can take them whatever way, but like, I've said this to the lads before, like, any little thing someone will say, I don't take it as like a, like, for example, and this is just little things, like, if Chris says something in the gym and he's like, oh, like, this guy's good at this, I'm like, why isn't he saying I'm good at that? No, like, that guy, that could be his go-to, and I'm like, why isn't he saying that to me? I was like, right, I'm going to work on that, I'm going to get better at that, so.
Yeah.
And it's just those little things that just my mind is like, if there's any situation that someone wants to talk about my fight game, there's no holds, there's no gaps. Ian's unbelievable at this. He's amazing at this. And that's just my want. I don't want, like, it's not that I want people to talk about it. It's like, I want to know that I'm that good at something. And I've always had a competitiveness in me, like, from a young age. But it's just like, it's just, as I've gotten older and started to kind of understand myself more and just, I want to say have more confidence in myself, which is hard to believe, but like, it's growing and growing and growing with everything that's happening. Like, I'm getting like fitter, faster, stronger, leaner, like smarter. Everything's getting better. And it's all just kind of fueling this fire that I can't control and I don't want to control. I want it to literally just burst out and just go wild. And I want it to like, shot like I want people to see how much like the exact kind of like reason for why I'm so competitive, I don't know why, but like, it's kind of just, I like to prove to myself how good I am at X, Y, and Z. And I want to be better than someone at X, Y, and Z, even if I know that's where they're A game is. Mm-hmm. Like, I text, you know, Taylor Perman.
Yes.
Yeah, I text Taylor there. And I was like to him, next time we roll, I'm going to take your back.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you take my back, I'll buy you a meal. I was like, I'll have steak and mash, please. And he's like, there's no way. And he's like, I'm like, look, I may not get it. I was like, but if I get it, yeah, we've agreed on this. I was like, I know he's legit. Like, I know he's up there as one of the best grapplers in Europe. I was like, it's not going to stop me from going balls to the wall trying to get there. But I don't know. I enjoy the competitive side. I enjoy testing myself. I enjoy training and learning and growing and like, knowing that if I'm going to end up in purely just MMA wise at the moment, like knowing if I end up in a position, I know I can be like relaxed. I know, like, you never see me worry in a fight.
That's becoming more apparent now as we see you fight.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like one of those things, right, because I remember when you first started fighting, and I remember your coaches and your teammates and people kind of on the scene being like, you need to watch this kid. Mm. He really is the future. Like, he's going to be the next UFC star. And I was going, you know, in the back of my head, fantastic. But you know how many times I hear this?
Yeah.
All the time. And I get invested in a fighter, and then 2 years later they're gone. They get married, or they have a girlfriend, or they have a kid, or they get a full-time job, and then they're gone. And so you have been the one that was consistent in all of that throughout. And now every time I watch you fight, I'm like, you grow so much in every fight. Mm. And it's so clear. Sometimes it takes guys a long time when you're like, there's something missing. That little thing that they need to just sort of capitalize or shine is sort of missing. But you're just growing into it every time.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with Chris. Mm-hmm. And me have this. We have
and
this.
And this is obviously Chris Fields, your coach.
Yes, Chris Fields. Yeah, yeah, anyone who doesn't know, my coach Chris Fields is an absolute, like, he's a mastermind. I'm not going to sit here and tell people how good he is, because everybody should know at this stage how good he is and how mm-hmm. good our gym is doing because of him and because of Tom. But I'm talking specifically about the MMA team now, like, and about me personally, is me and him have this chemistry. We both, like, even yesterday he was showing me a technique and I didn't say anything to him. I was like, I want to work this. And he literally said, why don't you do this? I was like, I was literally going to say that to you. Mm. And it's just like, we're on this wavelength. It's just, when he calls something, I'm already thinking it in a fight, and it's like, great. When he says a bang, I just do it, because that's literally, like, when I'm fighting, people say they just kind of do. I'm thinking about everything when I'm fighting. I'm like, right, what? Like, I get in, like, this flow zone, whether it's grappling or striking, and I get into this zone, and I just start, not necessarily thinking, but everything is being thought of.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not thinking, I'm just in a zone. I'm whether I'm on the feet or I'm on the ground, and I'm just getting into a comfort zone. Everything's landing. I'm picking my shots. I'm feinting. I'm seeing the gaps. And if he calls something in training when we're practicing for a fight, I'm already thinking it. So I just instantly throw it, because it's not like I have to think. It's like, boom, gone. It just it fires off straight away. When he tells me not to do something, I do it anyway, because it's me and I'm going to do it anyway because it's my fight.
Does that cause a little bit of tension?
It did at the start. Now he just knows, like, he knows if I fuck up, it's my fault. He knows, I'll get myself out. If I get a dig, he'd be like...
Okay, so how does that sit with you then, that, you know, that risk of... You know, it's on you.
Yeah.
I know people
that... Well, it's all on me.
It is all on you. But I know a lot of people that when they fight, they don't tend to veer too far off of what their coach is saying, because I feel it's like they it's almost like afterwards they can be like, yeah, look, we lost. We didn't get we didn't have the right game plan or whatever. And somewhere inside...
I'm never, ever going to say I lost again. That's not happening. That isn't happening. We'll take that off the table. We may say I got caught with something, but we ain't saying I lost. The worst one was against... It was my pro debut. And obviously Chris was
nervous. Ian, what is it about the word lost? Your facial expression changed there when you said that.
I'm not losing.
I can see the word.
I feel uncomfortable when someone says it.
I can see it in
like,
you squirm. It's like I can see inside your chest there that the word just...
Like, I feel like I want to tense up and just like snap this table in half. Like, I feel like I want to just like bang. I work too hard.
Yeah.
And I know how good I am. And when someone says to me like, oh, like you can potentially lose, I'm like, no shit. Yeah. I was like, but there's a reason I work so hard.
Yeah.
I don't take anyone for granted. I respect everybody. I give everyone the respect they deserve. But at the end of the day, I know how hard I work. Mm-hmm. And like the reason, like it goes back to like the reason I grow so much is because I ask so many questions. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to put myself in situations where I need to get better at. Like if I'm, say for example, like I'm rolling with James and Chris Fields, mm-hmm. right? James Webb and Chris Fields, both of them are bigger and more experienced than me. Plain and simple. They put me on my back. Both of them are stronger. Both of them have more experience in MMA and Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. I want to put myself there so that I can grow and grow and figure out, right, if I move this way, there's this gap. And if he shuts that down, I'm putting myself in another bad situation. So I need to do this. And it's really hard to explain. It's like an unwinding of like a cotton ball in my head and just waiting because I want it all to be clear and straight and like just easy for me to see. And that's why I learned. I don't want to see any knot in it. And if I see a knot, I'm like, right, get that out. It needs to be clear. And that's just the way I am. I want to learn. I want to progress and I want to grow at a rate that is like exponential, where it's like, it's every fight. Like I'm already better than my last fight. Mm. Like, and people can go, oh, well, yeah, like you're hardly better. I'm like, no, like I'm literally everywhere I'm better. Like I'm fitter, I'm faster, I'm stronger, and I'm my IQ is better because I've been asking questions. I haven't stopped training. Mm-hmm. I took about a week off just to kind of relax and let my body just chill, because when you go through weight cuts and you go through a fight camp, you just need that little week just to chill out. Mm-hmm. So I took a week off and then straight back in and put myself into the fire again, because it's what I enjoy. It's what I love to do. It's literally, I wake up, I want to fight. Mm-hmm. I want to train. I want to see the lads. I want to talk shit. I want to wind them up. I want to get in their heads. And then I want to do the same thing at night. And then I want to go to bed and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. But it's just like everything in the gym, when it comes to winning, when it comes to learning, when it comes to like the connection with all the lads, it's all just one big thing. And it's in me. It's like this is what I say. It's like this feeling I have that just drives me and just pushes me forward. And I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I want to prove how good I am to everyone.
I don't think you have to explain it. I think it's just, it's self-explanatory, isn't it? I think it's like,
I want people to feel it.
And I do. I feel it. Mm. That's what I mean, is that I feel it off you sitting here. You know, I feel your energy when talking about it, and like the way that, you know, your body changes when you talk about how passionate you are about it. You know, and you can't lie about that stuff. You can't talk it.
No.
You know what I mean? It's expression, right?
This is why I see, and this is... Well, I'm not going to get into the conversation.
Oh, please do. Come on.
When I see people talking shit online or sending me stuff, I'm just like, oh, I'm the best in the world. You're fighting absolute cans of piss. Mm-hmm. Shut your mouth and fucking just, no one cares.
Yes.
You don't have to big up someone. Just do you. And if people believe it's real, then fine. If you're trying to convince someone of how good you are, how good your opponent is, mm-hmm. like you're trying to make someone believe something that it just wrecks my head. And then a couple of people sending me texts being like, I bash you. I'm like, come down to the gym and do what? I'll send you my house address, knock on my door, and we'll have a scrap. I don't care. You answer the door, I will answer the door on my jocks, and I will kick the teeth out of your mouth, and I will literally leave you there in a heap. I have no problem doing that.
It is a very unusual sport in that its primal foundations are built on respect and, you know, the martial arts way, but it's now
it's gone the other way.
Social media has now infiltrated a bit of a toxicity that exists in it.
I like golf, right? I started golf over lockdown. It couldn't be more opposite from fighting.
You're
right?
Actually older than your years, aren't you?
It couldn't be more opposite from fighting, and I absolutely love golf, right? I've been out playing. I purely joined the golf club to see my mates more. Yeah. It's a we'll go out, we'll walk for about 2 hours or 4 hours, we'll go out, we'll swing a ball, like I'll have a chat, and then we'll go home, we'll do it again tomorrow or at the weekend. And I just really started to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not gonna get into the golf scene, because obviously like it's not what I am, but like it's more a hobby for me, and I really enjoy it, and I want to get really good at it.
I was just about to say, you're going to call out Shane Larry next. I can see it in you.
We'll get there. But it basically, like, I love golf, but like I was sitting there and like I was watching something on YouTube, and it was basically Team TaylorMade. So all the guys that are sponsored by TaylorMade, all like Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, Jason Day, they're all standing there around this green at this launch of all the new golf clubs. And they're all talking to each other how they take their shots and how they do this and how they, like, why are they so good at this shot or why are they so good around the greens? And I'm like, could you imagine how much better MMA would be?
Yes.
If everyone, like, not necessarily had, like, the ego, because obviously I have a massive ego. I know that. I have no problem admitting that. Like, yeah. I know I do. But that's just because I'm a competitor. I want to win. I want to be better than the person that's standing beside me or better than the person that's across the cage from me. That's just me. That's just in me. I can't control it. It's the way I am. Mm-hmm. But, like, could you imagine if every gym in Dublin, right, and there's a lot of them,
yeah,
every MMA gym met up once a month in a massive facility and we all just shared techniques and you had the best coaches and you had, the best competitors from top to bottom and everyone. Could you imagine how much better the scene would be? Could you imagine how much better everyone would be?
Well, absolutely. If you combine anything, if you combine the best of any sport or any community, yeah, you know, you're going to, the people that are in it are going to prosper, I suppose.
It's just...
Why do you think that wouldn't happen?
Come on. Like, ego.
Yes, just, okay, like, that okay, one word. Okay, okay.
Someone's going to walk in the gym, someone's going to say something to me and I'm going to be like, if it's someone I don't know,
yes.
Like if you walked into the gym, right, and you're like, Ian, do you want to do a round? I'm not going to talk shit to you.
No.
Because
you get burned.
Yeah, you wish. You wish. I'd literally put my hands behind my head. I'd be like, look, you can try past my head. You're going to spend the next 45 minutes trying to tire yourself out.
I am also highly competitive.
I'll just sit down with my coffee being like, are you done?
No. Shane, I'm going to absolutely throw myself over this table in a minute. It is going to be an absolute 20 minutes to the death sparring match.
The fact that you think it lasts 20 minutes is the funny part. It'd be about 4 seconds and it'd be a rear naked choke latch. I'm like, are you done?
Seriously, do you know what's going to happen when I leave here? I'm going to text her and I'm like, what time is that fucking gym open? I'm on my way up there. Get your spats on. They're going.
But like it's ego. It's like I'm not gonna like I've built up a friendship and a bond with the lads in the gym, and I know that sounds like we have. We're teammates. We're like a family. I can walk in and talk shit to all the lads and mess with their heads. But if someone tries to do that to me that I don't necessarily train with, and not that I don't have respect for, because I've said this from day one. I wanna bring respect and honor back to this game. Mm-hmm. I wanna I don't want people thinking like I talk shit about, like I absolutely talk shit. Like I talk shit about anyone to their face. I've no problem. I'll talk shit to your face, but I have the respect to not do that.
Yes.
Because okay. I don't want someone to think I'm an asshole. But like if you walk in and you come onto a mat and I'm standing on that mat and you're talking about like you're the best this, you're the best that, I'm like, right, let's do it, let's go. If you're talking about being the best, let's fucking go. Let's see.
Do you feel like there's more of a target on your back now with every win that you get at Cage Warriors?
Yeah, good. Good. That's what I want. Mm. I'm stepping up the ladder every fight. I want that. I put the most pressure on myself. I put, everyone's like, oh, like when it was coming up to Cork and I talked all that shit and there was me and Sean Sheehan had caused a bit of problems with that Bellator stuff and everyone was going mad, being like, and like Bellator commenting going, who is this kid? I'm like, yes.
Why were you like that? Why was this such a happy moment?
Because I'm just being me and just being honest. Like I'm like, and
is it important? Is it important to you to be honest and transparent in the sport?
Yeah, I don't like to lie. Like if, like, mm-hmm. honestly, if you come up and start talking to me, and I just be like, look, no offense, I'm just gonna leave this conversation. Like, yeah. I don't have time for someone not that I don't respect. I just maybe someone I don't like, mm-hmm. and rather than me send off this negative energy around a conversation, I'd be like, look, I'm just gonna leave. Mm-hmm. Or like if we're talking about something I don't really feel comfortable in, I'd be like, look, I'm just I'm just going to leave here. I've no reason to be here. Like, just, I'm just going to be giving off fucking negative vibes, sitting there, arms folded, in a huff, like, not wanting to talk. It's, but, like, that caused a lot of stuff. And I'm like, when Bellator commented going, who's this kid? I'm like, you have just given me a tweet that when I signed for UFC, you know I'm going to post. Like, you know I'm going to do it. It's screenshot. It's done now. The minute I signed that paper, and I'm like, it's done. But, like, there's just, I can't help it.
At any point in this journey, does fear come into it at all?
No.
There's no fear.
In which way?
Like,
fear of getting the head punched at me? Like?
No, not at all. I mean, that could be a thing. But, like, you know, in any stage of the process, is there fear? Is fear present? Whether that is when you sign on a contract for your next opponent, or whether it's fight week, or it's the night before a fight, you know, you exude confidence and self-belief, and not in a bad way, in a very good way.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, you know, is there ever moments of self-doubt or fear?
Never. And I know that sounds, I am a pussy. I will say that now, like, I run up the stairs when I turn the lights off. Like, I sprint up the stairs. Like, I'm not saying I'm a hard man. Like, this is what I say to people. Like, I'm not a hard man. But, like, again, it all comes back to the hard work I'm putting in. And I know I'm fully aware of how good I am.
Yeah.
I know if Chris shows me a technique tonight, I know in a week's time, I'll be working on it. I'll come back to him. All right, I'm trying this. And they go, I'm not mad about that one. You're going to give yourself a bit of problems. I'm like, I like it. I'm going to keep working it. And he's like, right, fine. But, like, you're going to, and he'll make a point if I try a certain position, that certain position on him, he'll try go down the route of, I told you not to do this.
Yeah.
And I'll try to be like, well, I told, this is why I want
to
do it.
Does that part of you need to be sort of, do you have to keep an eye on that?
On which?
On that element of, no, I want to try this, or, you know.
No, he gives me free rein on it. Yeah. He guides me down a path, and he goes, here's option ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we're going over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel comfortable, like, you can do something else and give yourself another option and another option. And if you go down the rabbit hole of wanting to work through it and figure out, like, where I can go if he puts his arm this way, or if he moves his leg, or all these positions, I'll talk to him. I don't keep it to myself. Like, I will go back to him at the end of the week. I'll be like, look here, I'll say it to him, which is annoying then because I try it on him and he knows, but I do it on the other on the other lads in the gym. But it's just a constant evolution. It's constantly growing. It's constantly working. And he knows. He gives me the freedom to go off and try what I want. And he, like, I full well know, like, not everything I think of is going to work.
Mm.
But, like, trial and error. It's trial and error. Like, okay, that one's working really, really well. Like, he told me not to do this certain position from the back the other week that I asked him about. And then I came back to him a week later. I was like, yeah, I'm doing that. I was like, that works.
Mm.
I was like, for me, that works. Mm. I like that. I want to go down that rabbit hole and see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And not now. I might not use it in this fight, the next fight. I might not use it for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ever get it in a position where I need to use it, I want to be able to use it. And that's why, like, there's a load of skills people haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part about it. It's like, oh, you think I'm a striker? Oh, that's great. Take me down and see what happens. Oh, you think you can take me down? Great. Good luck. You think I'm going to gas? Never. I'm not even going to try argue that one. It's not happening. Like, you think I'm not learning, I'm not growing in between fights? You think I'm taking someone for granted? Nope. Mm-hmm.
Well, a really interesting point there in what you're saying is what we were speaking about before we started recording, in that, you know, you're very much an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in, like, oh, you're a professional athlete, you know, you're an MMA fighter.
I said it to my mom all the time. she fucking hates it. I'm like, oh, it's mad to think I'm one of the best fighters in the country. She's like, oh, would you stop? I wind her up. My brother hates it. I'm like, my brother's doing a course. He's doing sports and psychology or something. I'm like, you should tell your lecturers that your brother's a professional athlete. And he's like, oh, would you? Getting sick in his mouth. I'm just like, shit like that is what I do to wind people up. Like, and they hate it.
But, like, do you need me to come in and
I'm
say
like,
hi?
Do you want me to talk to your class? Like, I can happily do it if they want me to. And he's like, oh, get out, will you? But
no, but I mean, there's a very, the more that I work in the sport, the more I kind of see the difference between fighters and athletes. Mm. And it's very much split down the middle. And it's the guys who, like, fair enough, yeah, the fighters, there is a certain percentage that can get by being high quality fighters and just being absolute animals.
Tough
as anything.
Having tough and heart. Being tough and
having
heart.
Yes,
absolutely. Can get people so far in this sport.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But you are right. I'm not that I'm an athlete. I'd consider myself a competitor.
Mm.
I consider myself a competitor. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter if we're playing chess. I'm going to try and smash you.
Mm.
I don't want it to be like, oh, that was a close game.
Yeah.
I'm like, two moves and you're done. On the next one, right? Maybe next. What else do you want to try? It doesn't matter. Like, I say to my mates in golf, like, I start, like, with the golf, it's just an easy one because it's only new to me. I was only playing 12 weeks, then the lockdowns came in. I had a handicap of 26. I'm now down to 12.6. I've lost 14 shots in 12 weeks. I'm like, right, 2021, we're getting down to signal figures. And my mates are like, oh, would you stop? I'm like,
but
do you want to doubt me?
Here is a question for you, right? And it's a little bit of a philosophical one in that the mindset that you have now is the perfect one for the sport that you're in and to take you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
But what happens after fighting? You know, do you think about after fighting that piece of you inside you that is that competitor and a need to be the best and top of the game? Does that stay with you? Do you have to try and make that exit? Otherwise, is it very exhausting? Or will you have an exhausting life always wanting to be the best at everything?
Yeah. So I think about everything. I like to think a lot, and it's just the type of person I am. I think about every scenario of a fight.
Yes.
I think about every scenario of, like, my life and where I could potentially go. And, like,
well, you're Scorpio.
Yeah.
Very, very deep.
So the
deep thinker.
Yeah. So the more I think about something, the more I kind of understand it, and I like, right, okay, here's where the problems may lie, or here's where, like, I can excel. And I think about kind of everything. And basically, like, I say to you, like, I want to be done more or less by the time I'm 30. Like, I want to get in, get out, stay pretty, and finish out on top.
Yeah.
That's my goal. And it's not like, oh, like, you could cement your legacy. I'm like, that's, like, obviously that matters to me. And if I'm at the top and I'm absolutely smashing everyone and I'm just running through people for fun, which, like, when you get to that level, isn't all the time. Like, you're going to get tough fights, and you're probably going to fight once or twice a year. Yeah. You're going to have to, like, take 6 months between a big fight like that. And that's obviously way down the line. Like, I don't look past this fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like to think of the bigger picture and what's going to happen. Like, I don't need to fight 14 times to try like compete against like a John Jones or an Anderson Silva or a GSP for legacy. That's like, obviously that will mean something to me down the line. But right now it's not in my head. It's about, right, I want to get in and do as much as I can. If I could fight three times, right, I just turned 23. If I sign for the UFC by the time I'm 25, let's say,
yeah,
if I fight three times a year for 5 years, but to the time I'm 30, that's 15 fights. 15 fights. Do you know what I mean? That's the way I think about it. And I'd fight every week. If I could, if I moved up to middleweight, right, and I only had to cut a couple of kilos, I would absolutely fight 26 times a year. Every 2 weeks. And I know Chris wouldn't let me, but that's the way I am.
I just
want to fight. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, and I make sure I don't get hit when I'm in fights. I make sure I try and, like, take as little damage as possible so I can go back and train straight away. And obviously, touch wood, like, hopefully that's the case for every fight. And, like, you'll pick up injuries along the way. It comes with the sport. Like,
do you find that I said it to you when you came in, when I was walking down here, and I was thinking about, like, you know, the conversation and stuff, and I was going, he's not a welterweight. I was like, surely he's light heavy now. And I had to go to Sherdog to check the stats. And it was like welterweight. And I was looking at all the fights. I was like, welterweight. How at 6'3", the size of you, are you still making welterweights?
I'd make it so easy.
I'm like.
Like I literally, I have a copybook at home. I'll talk about this, but I want to get back to that thing about after fighting because there's a lot of things about that. I have a copybook at home, and I literally like it's 19 little lines, like a normal just like a copybook you'd have in school.
Yeah.
And I write down day one, two, three, four, five. I write down all the dates, and then I write down what I wake up every morning.
Yeah.
I'll take a piss. I'll write my weight down. So that 19 days out from a fight, I can look back at the last three times I was 19 days out from a fight. What weight was it in? Okay, right. So I'm on track, or I'm heavier, or I'm lighter. Okay, I don't have to worry about it. And then I'll write down, right, I want to be this weight, this weight, this weight. And I'm slowly changing it to make it more efficient.
Mm.
So like the last one, I cut basically nothing in a bath. And I was like, right, this one, I want to give myself a little bit more of a cut because I didn't really cut.
Mm-hmm.
Just genuinely so, because it wasn't taxing on the body at all. Right, I give myself a little bit more of a cut so that I can just be that bit bigger when I go back into the cage.
Yeah.
And it's just every fight, as I said, it's about learning and growing and becoming more aware of what my body likes to do and what's best for me. And the more I do it, the better it's going to be. And this is just a constant kind of evolution, as I was saying to you, but to get back onto that point of, do I think of what I want to do after fighting?
Oh yes, let's talk about this.
This all depends on how well I do. It all depends on do I stay injury free? Do I pick up an injury? There's so many like intangibles. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Just I didn't want to say something to sound like a sap. There's so many things outside of my control that I can't worry about. I can't stress about something that's out of my control. But I can think about the possibilities. And for me, if I do everything I say I'm going to do and I do fight maybe a year or two longer than 30 and I finish at 30, 32 or 33 and I've done everything and maybe I just want to have a couple more fights because I'm enjoying it so much and I don't want to finish now.
Mm.
That's fine. I'm not against that. I'm not saying I have to be done by 30. I have to do this, this and this.
Mm.
I'm on a roller coaster ride that can go up, it can go down, it can go. I don't control it. The only thing I control is how hard I work. And when I get into that cage, just to go in there and absolutely give everything I have.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that, like a lot, I feel like a lot of people do exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you said there. Think about after fighting. And I know this sounds a bit stupid. Like everyone says my name is the future and like I think about the future. But like I'm very much in the now. Like my sister was pregnant, she had a baby there a couple of weeks, I think a week and a half ago. But about 3 weeks ago, my mom was like to me, and it was just so funny because her face when I said it, she was like to me, I have the day off work tomorrow. Me and your sister are just going to go grab a coffee and go for a walk and just relax. You haven't seen her in a while. Do you want to come out? And I was like, what time are you going at? And she was like, oh, I don't know. Are you doing anything tomorrow? I was like, no. And she was like, I think we're going to go about 1-2. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, I thought you said you don't have anything to do. I was like, I don't know what time I'm waking up tomorrow. I was like, I don't have my day planned for tomorrow.
You fucker.
I don't have my day planned for tomorrow. I was like, I'm waiting for Chris to send me a text about what time training is. I'm waiting. I don't have any plans. I was like, I don't think about tomorrow until tomorrow comes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the now. And that's why I very much look forward to potentially like having, like I say this to lads, like the journey, like fighting in Vegas and bringing 20 lads over to do a camp and bringing Chris and Tom and Cahill and Webby and all the lads from the gym over to train that will help and benefit me and help us grow. I look forward to all of those things.
Mm.
I look forward to being maybe going over to Mexico, Brazil, maybe fighting in somewhere like Japan. I know Chris would love that, so maybe that won't happen with the UFC. But like, if I do sign for the UFC, there's potential for that to happen, to go away, to earn enough money to be able to bring my mates away and experience these things. And that, to me, is more important as to the memories you're going to build. I want to be able to think of the memories that we're building now and not look back on them in 10 years and go, geez, do you remember that time? I want to be able to appreciate them now.
Mm-hmm.
Like even going away with the lads and like having a, like Cork was amazing. Like this time last year, it was the 9th. So literally a year ago, like 9th of November, it was hilarious. I had loads of support down in Cork. It was
absolutely. This is Cage Warriors Cork.
Cage Warriors Cork. And it was their first time back. I had loads of supporters down. The buzz in the atmosphere was amazing. And then the buzz out in town afterwards is amazing. I was walking around town. I went, me, I told you how fat I am, right? I walked, I left the hotel, right? Everyone was back in the hotel. I walk in, me and Reese McKee walked in, and everyone's like, way, yeah, clapping. And then I was like, right, eventually said, talk to all the people from Cage Warriors and my family and friend, a couple of my friends were there. But all my mates that had travelled out, like a couple hundred of them were out in the town and they'd rented a couple of houses and they'd had some stuff. And I'm sitting there and they're like, where is he? And my best mate rings me and I go, hello? And he's like, where are you? I was like, I'm at Four Star. I was like, Domino's is closed. I'm just buying pizzas. And he's like, right. He's like, I just sent you the address. I was like, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. I'm walking down the road with 9 pizzas. I was like, I'm going back to this gaff. And I'm eating as much pizza as I can tonight. I had 9 pizzas stacked, like, literally so I could hold my arms out. And they were up to my chin. And people were like, oh, can we get a picture of you? Like, just like the people that were at the fights. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not putting my pizzas down. If you touch them, I'm going to kick the shit out of you. And like, it was just a good laugh. But like, even just little memories like that, like my mates going out and like causing murder and getting locked and stuff like that. Like that's what they're the experiences I want. And like I've said this, the moment I sign it, if all goes well and I do what I say I'm going to do, I sign for UFC and I start fighting, I cannot wait to send that text, Vegas baby, and have everyone go raiding the credit unions, raiding their bank, getting their loans to go over to Vegas, and everyone's going to do it. Ian's fighting in Vegas, and just have just have thousands of people come over and just enjoy this experience that is about me, but it's about everyone else as well. I want people to enjoy the buzz of what I'm doing just as much as I am, and this is why, like, I at the end of the day, no matter how much I succeed, I don't feel like I'll ever fail because I'm enjoying it all the way. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, obviously I want to go to these like kind of points that I've thought about, but if I don't make it there and I'm having fun on the way, at least no matter what, I can say I tried, I done my best, and I gave it everything I had, and it's never going to be something that I go, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that better. It's like, I'm in this 110% because I want to get to where I am and I don't want to leave any like stone unturned.
I have a question for you.
Work away.
What is your definition of greatness?
Me. Me. Do you want to know? We don't a yearbook.
That's expand.
People are gonna think of me as an asshole. That I would say that is a typical me answer. My mates would tell you I would say that answer. What, me? Me in 5 years? Me in 5 years is greatness. I wrote, so for a yearbook when we left school, like we were doing a yearbook, and teachers came up to us and they were like, right, so we need a quote, we need your favorite memory from school, and we need like an ambition that you want to have after school. And I was like, right. So I have a quote that I've tattooed on me, and it's a quote that I live every day by. It's a day without laughter is a day wasted.
Yes.
Like, it laughter fills you with joy. It makes, if no matter how annoyed you are, no matter how bad your day has been, if you have a best mate or like a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, someone who can make you laugh and just make you forget about everything, there's nothing more like special than something like that. Like, you just forget everything. Yeah. You just get those stitches and you're just in bits, tears running down your face. And that's very much me. I laugh at everything. Like, I'm the guy that when, like, I'm always getting in trouble for laughing when I shouldn't be laughing because I just can't control it. It's the way I am. But I said then my favorite memories of school was just being, spending every moment of every day with my mates and loving life. And then my ambition was to be better than everybody else. Why? Because I can. And that was when I was like 18. I was like, greatness is, you can sum up greatness in so many different things. It's all like a personal kind of outlook on it. But for me, it's just giving everything you have. And oh jeez, it's a hard answer. Like, the saying me is just the easy one. It's just the easy one. But like, I suppose greatness is doing what you love and doing it every day and having it affect, like, spreading it with other people.
Mm.
Like, if you can, like, there's so many people in any sport. It doesn't have to be MMA. It can be football. Ronaldo, Messi, like, Neymar, all these big footballers. They people see their love and their passion for these sports. Like, you see it with people. Like, you see it with LeBron James. You see it with, like, Tom Brady. They just, there's this energy about them. They work their asses off.
Mm.
And it just drives people to be better and want to do more. And that, for me, is greatness. Like, mm-hmm. like for me, like, I started fighting because I fell in love with the buzz of watching Conor rise. Like, I remember, I actually distinctly remember I was working in Louis Copeland's. And
Would you have been there when he was getting his suits?
Yeah, I remember he came in I was working in Louis Copeland.
Louis Copeland was the first to throw a suit on Conor.
Yeah.
I remember them days.
So I'll get on to that memory, right? Because this is where the story goes, right? So I was in, we just played a hurling match at the back of my school, and we were all sitting in this little smelly container that was there to get changed at the back of the school. And someone goes to me, like, oh, like, you're working in Louis Copeland's, aren't you? I was like, yeah. They're like, do you ever see Conor? Like, and I'm like, no, I've never seen him. Of course, that weekend I seen him, right?
Yeah.
Walking out, was on my break. I was like, to the lads, anybody want some food? I'm going to go out and get some food. And they were like, yeah, will you get some McDonald's? Like, so I come back in, I had about 4 bags of McDonald's, and I walk in, I'm like, sprinting up the stairs, looking at the camera. I was like, that's Conor. And like, I was in fourth year, 16 at the time.
Yeah.
And like, he's just after booming, right?
Yeah.
I think it was after maybe the Brandeau fight. Because
mm-hmm.
he had just got the tattoo.
Yeah.
I think it was. And I'm sitting there going, I walk in, he has his top off, he's putting on this shirt, and I'm like, Henry, do you reckon he'll get annoyed if I tell him I beat him in a fight? And Henry's messing with me, and he's like, don't do it. I'm like, all right. So Henry brings me up to me. I was like, he's like, do you want to go down and meet him? I was like, fucking right, I do.
Yeah.
So I threw my McDonald's on the table. I was like, walking down, and says big happy head on me, and he comes over to me, and him and D were in there, and he was trying on the suit and blah, 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 whatever he was doing. Like, I don't know what he was doing, and I'm sitting there going, like, it was just so cool for me to see him at that time. I seen his hands. I got a picture of him. His hands are huge.
Yeah, he does have very big hands.
And I'm sitting there now. My hands are a little small stumps. Like, I don't have big hands at all. But like, I'm sitting there going, and I was the same height as him. I'll show you the picture afterwards in a minute. I'll try find it while I explain the story, so you can see this. But basically, because I can go back, it's literally the very first photo on my phone. But like, I can literally, like, he was just like, I was just loving this. Like, when I see him, literally, it's the first photo on my phone, right?
Yeah.
Like, look at this. This is years ago. I am an absolute child. Do you know what I mean? And I was loving life. And he came in and...
Let me focus on this.
It was just such a cool moment to see that person that had made you want to... I'd made you want to do what you're doing. And I hadn't even done MMA then.
Did you tell him that you beat him?
No, I didn't.
He would have loved that.
I'd say he would have punched me in the face at the time.
You would have had a knock there in the
end. I didn't do MMA then. This is the thing. This is another funny story, like, when it comes to that. But like, seeing him, of course I seen him that weekend. And like, I was like, oh, that's mad. Like, I went back in and told everyone. And I was like, right, that, like, but people like him, like, when you see the hard work and the dedication and the hours they're putting in, and just the... You can feel the passion, like, and not necessarily feel it, but you can see the passion. You can see when someone genuinely wants to, like, to be the best or do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, and like Ronaldo's an absolute workhorse. And there's footballers out there that, like, just want to be him because he makes kids want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he is such an effect on footballers. Same with, like, when, like, Michael Jordan was playing basketball, he made people want to play basketball more. He threw out this kind of energy that just inspired people. That's what I would consider greatness.
It's such a good answer. And you know what's funny when you say that? I was such a geek when I'm on YouTube, right? And you know what I love watching is footballers meeting fans. You know those collage videos where they meet kids that are bawling crying?
Yeah.
What's the footballer with the curly hair, the really afro curly hair?
Louise,
that's it. You ever see him with kids? Like, they won, they're bawling crying. He's hugging them. Yeah. You know,
and it's like,
heart.
That one, I love that one of when we watched The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, and like, you hear people beeping on the street, and he jumps out, and like, there's some little kid literally running up to him in his Porsche or his Corvette, and he's like getting him to sign it, and he's like, and you're like, the kid is literally seeing the superstar that he loves. Leave him be. Leave the fucking kid be.
Yeah.
But there was a story I was going to say. fighting.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even done MMA at that point, yeah. right? I was 16. I didn't start MMA till I was 18. My mum wouldn't let me. No, she didn't have a choice. So I joined college.
What was her reasoning? Was she just like...
Well, she actually had a fair reason. She wanted me to finish my leaving cert before I joined any more sports, because she knows what I'm like. If I was doing judo at the time, I was like leaving after school studies, going straight to judo, coming home. And like I was playing Gan Hearn at the same time. And then she wanted me to go to college. I didn't want to go to college. But I just went, you know what? I'll just make her happy. I'll go for a year. If I don't like it, I didn't want to do the year at all. I knew I wanted to leave the minute I went in. I didn't want to do it. But, excuse me, I knew I didn't want to do it. I went in, and after the first year, I was like, right, I'm going back into second year. Why am I doing this? I was like, oh, my God, I didn't like the first year. I don't want to go in.
Yeah.
Went into the first week, the first day of first year, I was like, oh, I'm not doing this. So I went up. I was like, I want to quit. And they were like, all right, you sure? I was like, yep, don't want to be here anymore. I want to go. And then she's sitting there, and I was like, right. So I basically quit college, and she was like to me, do you not have college today? I was sitting at home in bed for a week, and she's like, no. She's like, why? I was like, about that. I kind of left college. And she's like, what? And she was going to work as well, so like I knew she wouldn't be able to talk about it. So I was like, yeah, I quit. I was like, expect another, like, I think it's 3 grand, like a semester, a term, or whatever it is, the 6 month, this, like this eight, whatever it is, 12 weeks is like a grand and a half. And I was like, expect that to be back in your account soon. I was like, because I did quit. I did drop out. Like, I don't want to do it. And she's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to work full time with my uncle. I was like, I was going to clean windows, and then I'm going to train. I'm going to become a professional MMA fighter. Mm. And she was like, you're a fucking joke. And then I'll never let her live this down. She wrote me like a tree. She couldn't speak to me. She was so fucking frustrated with me. She wrote me like a 3-page essay.
No way.
On why being the next Conor McGregor isn't a valuable, isn't a career that I can follow. And I have a picture of it somewhere on my phone. And I ripped it up and threw it on her bed. And she came home and she was disgusted with me. And I went, this is my life.
Wow.
I said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you're not happy with it, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And she came in and like, she has absolutely every reason to do what she, to say what she said and to be annoyed. She only wants to see her son do well. I understand it.
It's such a weird thing, right? Because I remember Conor telling me that Tony said the exact same thing to him. Mm-hmm. Like Tony McGregor said to Conor, like, you're not good. This is not going to happen
It's a genuine thing. A parent, should be like worried about. It's like, you want us? Come on, do you really think you're going to do that? Like, would you not just get a job and get you like and settle down?
It's because they can't see past their own remit.
I'm not asking someone to see past. It's my feckin' life. Piss off.
But that's why kids. That's why when it's your children. I imagine, I don't have kids. It's not within your remit, but then you're filled with so much fear and love, and you just want them to be safe and happy, and just do something safe and don't take a risk and just do it. Because I get it with my parents still.
100%. But it's they care for you, they love you, they want to see you do well. They don't want to see you going through trouble or like not having money to buy a house or not being able to pay bills. I get it. I fully understand it. But that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And it took her a while to come around to it. My dad was like,
it's funny, you know.
It's fine. And I completely respect it. Like, every time we talk about it, like, she's like, I would just stop. Like, she's like, you know why I did it? I was like, I know. It was from a good place. I was like, but, like, you have to understand. It's my life.
Yes.
And my dad was like to me, look, I'm all right with you doing it, but just, like, make sure, like, if you're going
to
fucking do it, do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, cool. And, like,
he
was kind of on the same boat as her, but, like, he didn't want to say it because he knows. He's traveled around doing boxing with me for years. He knows if I want to do something, I'm going to do it, and no one's going to stop me. So, yeah, I joined an MMA gym a couple months later. I originally joined SBG in Concord because I was in DIT Angel Street.
Yeah.
It was just as a hassle to go to. I didn't really enjoy it because it was so stressful to try to get out
it's
to.
A good bit
out, out to SBG Swords at the time, which is now obviously Team KF. Fell in love with it. It was so much easier, so much handier, and I've never looked back. And I feel like that was yesterday.
This
journey has just gone like that, and I think back, I'm like...
But even for me, it seems so short. I remember you, like, you know... coming, like, your first fight, and like, being like, oh, hey, how are you? This little tiny, well, not tiny, you're about 3 foot taller than me.
Lanky string of piss. Looking like a lollipop stick.
And now to see, like, even with Reese, right? Reese McKee, yeah. I remember standing with him as he was making the walk for his pro debut, Bama, yeah. in the Tree Arena. I mean, like, so, and having been with him for the, like, the week of fight week, yeah. I mean, like, oh my God, this is so exciting for you. And, you know, knowing the amateur career and everything. And now he's in the UFC.
I know, yeah.
And it just seems, it's so long, but it's so short.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's moves, the weirdest thing.
It moves so fast.
So fast.
And this is the whole thing about, like, this GOAT conversation at the moment. And, like, people are talking about, like, recency bias and, like, oh, Khabib is the GOAT. It's like,
who is the GOAT in your
John
opinion?
Jones. Look, John Jones. I was like, we're going to have this conversation for hours and I will argue with fucking anybody on this. He's been, look.
But if you're putting GOAT status on someone, do you you have to factor in outside activities? No, you have to.
You don't, though.
Here's
the reason, right? Here's the reason. It's the greatest of all time. It's not the greatest fucking ambassador for the sport. That's not what it is. That's not the title, right? It's not about the greatest ambassador. It's about the greatest martial artist of all time, right?
Okay.
And that's end of, right?
Okay.
Khabib is a better...
human.
Not human. Let's say it. He's a better ambassador for the sport, right? He's a better look. Like, he's the better face for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and I've no argument with that. Same with, like the likes of, like, Max Holloway, yeah. and just the good guys, DC, Daniel Cormier. Like, and I understand everyone's arguments about, like, PEDs and all this. And I'm like, look, I don't know who's juicing and who's not. Obviously, we know who is because who's tested positive. But I don't know anybody like that's in the top probably 100 in the world that aren't probably juicing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, so I don't think about it. When I'm looking at a fighter, I don't want to know if they're juicing or not. Mm-hmm. That's not the outlook I look at. I just look at them from a skill set point of view, who they've beat and how they've beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when we get into the thing of being popped, it brings their credibility down.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and I'm not arguing that. I'm against juicing. Like, if you're gonna juice,
mm-hmm.
fucking let everyone juice. Do you know what I mean? Make it a fit. Like, I just don't like it being unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if John Jones wants to juice against DC, that's fine. Let DC juice against John Jones, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way it looks, right? I don't want anyone having an advantage.
Yeah,
right? That's the thing. Like, especially in a sport like this,
mm-hmm.
and especially in a sport where it can affect your life, like your face. Like, literally, you could break your fucking jaw and need surgery, and you find out that fucker was juicing.
Yeah,
and you're like, hold on, I'm gonna put a brick through his window. Do you know what I mean, dickhead? Right? And that's fine. But when I look at the GOAT, I don't think about it as that. I'm talking about the greatest martial artist of all time. John Jones was a UFC champion at 23. Right? Now, he's not the greatest human in the sport. But how old is he now? 33?
Yes.
I think he's 33.
34, yeah.
He's in and around that age. He's still the champ. He hasn't lost. He's dominated for a decade. Now, we've started to see the last couple of fights get harder for him. And why? He's coming up against younger guys who are faster. They're at different skill sets because the game is evolving and changing. He's still winning. Do you know what I mean? He's still the best there is. And then it's like recency bias. It's like, oh, Khabib's the GOAT. It's like, hold on a fucking minute now. I was like, John Jones has fought the who's who of lightweights in the UFC ever. Look at the. I have a list. I'm not going to get it up now because we can talk. I'll sit here and argue this, right? He's fought.
And I'm not even arguing with you.
But this is what I mean.
I hate to be at the table if someone was. Bloody hell.
But this is what I mean. This is my outlook on it. And I just want people to see it. Like, it isn't about who's the best person. It isn't about that. It's like he has literally dominated an entire division for 10 years and hasn't lost. Khabib, everyone's like, Khabib is 29-0. John Jones is 27-0 or 28-0. Mm-hmm. That one fight he lost was illegal elbows. Fair enough, right? Look, it's just stupid. The ref should have... What are you doing? You don't do that. Take a point off him or do something.
Yeah.
Don't stop it straight away. Like, But look, that's it. We all know he didn't lose that fight. Do you know what I mean? So he's undefeated. He's never lost. He has defended the belt 14 times against the second best guy in the world every single time. Every time. But no, it's okay. Khabib is the GOAT because he's defended his belt 3 times.
And loves his dad.
And loves his dad. And no, I don't mean it. I'm not even going to say anything about his dad dying or anything because that's obviously hard. And like, you've got to respect him for that. And, I think seeing him in the cage was just amazing.
Fight, I think it's like that thing of the conversation of the GOAT fight. Comes in around that.
I hope that's his last fight because of that moment. I don't want to see him come back in because of that. I'd rather see him leave it in. He left everything he had in that cage that night. Mm-hmm. He went in, he dominated the next best guy, the most dangerous guy in the division to people's outlook. Like, I still think Conor is the most dangerous guy in that division other than Khabib. Mm-hmm. But he left every bit of emotion in that cage. I don't want to see him come back. Mm. Leave it at that. Stay that way.
Yeah.
Like, I think he doesn't need to go back into that cage. Everybody respects him enough. And he's going to be in that argument. And once you're in that GOAT argument, that's all you need to be.
Yeah, his legacy's like, made.
Come here. Me and you can argue about this all day. Who's the GOAT? You could say it's GSP. I could say, well, it's John Jones. I was like, I've seen GSP lose twice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could say, oh, it's Anderson Silva. I'm like, again, I've seen Anderson Silva get knocked out. I've never seen John Silva. And I could argue this all day, which, and you could tell me any name you want. I'm like, well, no, I mean. And like,
but isn't that the beauty of it?
Like, I agree. Exactly. And this is why the conversation, it doesn't matter what I think. Mm-hmm. It's my feckin' opinion. Mm-hmm. You're entitled to your own opinion. Yeah. And no matter what I say to you, you're not going to change. Because you know what? Ian Gary's right.
Yeah.
Ian is right. Like, what he's saying makes sense. It's like, I don't care what he's saying. I like Khabib or I like GSP and these are. And for me, I just want to be in that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, no one is ever going to be dead set the most. Like, Khabib is, without a doubt, the most dominant fighter in UFC history because he's literally gone in, everybody knows what he's going to do, and he still does it. And no one has stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the most dominant fighter in UFC history. The greatest athlete in the UFC is arguably GSP or probably Yoel Romero. They're just freaks. Mm-hmm. Like, Yoel Romero doing a backflip on command. Like, do you know what I mean? And into the splits and then just standing there like that. Like, he owns the room because he's an absolute unit. And then the greatest martial artists, Demetrius Johnson, John Jones, everyone's going to have an argument. If I can be in that argument, that's me. That's me happy.
Okay, very final point before we wrap up. Finish the sentence. This is what you want fans to say when you have hung up the gloves for the final time.
I can tell you now, you don't have to finish sentence.
Ian Gary was.
No, it's Ian Gary made me want to fight. That's what it is. Ian Gary was the reason I started fighting. That's more important to me than Ian Gary was. Ian Gary made me want to start fighting. Ian Gary made me fall in love with this sport. The exact same way when I was watching Conor Rise. That's what I want. I want some kid to sit here in this country and fall in love with my journey. Like, I fell in love with Connors. And, like, I remember going, like, through Albufeira. We were in Alicante. Me and my best mate were in Alicante. And I remember going around trying to find a bar, trying to find a lock-in somewhere to let me watch him against Chad Mendes. I was banging on doors trying to. I'm like, let me fucking in. I want some kid to have that same outlook on me as I did on Conor, watching him grow up through the ranks and see the whole country get behind him because everyone fell in love with the passion and the drive and the confidence and the swagger he had. And if I can inspire one kid to do this and he ends up continuing this kind of buzz and this energy and this, like, the next wave, that's me happy. Whatever happens in my career is going to happen because I made that happen. But at the end of the day, I want a kid to feel. I want parents. I want kids to look to not. I want to strive kids to want to do this and to look up to me. And I want parents to go, all right, okay, you can do that. No, going, oh, he's a dickhead. Do you know what I mean? I don't want you to do that. Do you know what I mean? Don't be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. I just want someone to continue on the kind of.
You want to inspire the next generation.
Basically, yeah. And that's it. I want it, like, Ian Gary made me want to do this. The exact same way I said to you, Conor was the reason I started fighting. I want someone to say Ian was the reason I started fighting. And hopefully he's feckin' good because I'd be sick if he's not. He made me start fighting. Knocked out. Like, oh, bollocks. Why did I let that kid? Why did I inspire that kid? He's getting sparred. Oh, no. But yeah, that's just the way. I just at the end of the day, whatever anyone does or whatever I do, I send my mom a text before every fight and I'm like, look, regardless of what happens, know that I'm having fun. Mm. And when I'm punching this fella's face in, know I'm even having more fun. Mm. And when I get my hand raised, know I'm on a different planet and like no one can touch me. Mm. And like she's like, oh. And then I send her that gift that I don't ask when I fight it. And she's like, oh no. I'm like, P.S. there will be blood. And she's like, oh no.
The hands down worst post-fight celebration I have ever seen in Gary.
It's the best.
It's the worst.
Have you seen the gif?
I've seen the gif.
It's the best. Think about it. Think about this gif for a moment. You need to send this gif. You need to post this gif and post this bit that I'm explaining now. Think about this. That kid was at a baseball game or a game. He was on the big screen loving life. His immediate reaction, while all the dads are like, yeah, enjoying the game, was to stand up, stick his tongue out, pull his top up and go, ah, and you know, that was his reaction. How is that not golden?
I see, when I've seen that stoppage and I've seen you do it, I literally was like, no, Ian, no. And I was like, it is going to go viral. And it did. So it
have
worked.
Have you seen the picture from it?
The picture
better.
You in your purple jocks, like bloody hell.
They make me feel like a superhero as well, those purple jocks.
I tell you, they look great.
I fucking loved them. I fucking loved them. My little ass out, I'm like that shaking. Loving that.
Well, listen, I think I seen it afterwards. I was like, Jesus, if you've done that for that, I can't wait to see his next post-fight celebration. I was like, it's going to be a thing now. They're going to demand it.
I'll see. I don't know if I keep it the same or I do, but all I know is I'm going to win the next time. That's it.
Oh, well, God, I nearly, before we go, we're wrapping up. We never even spoke
we're
about
talking
exclusive.
So, I told you I talk so much shit.
Jesus, there was so much ground we didn't cover there. But post-fight interview, did you hear me? Next fight, exclusive, Cage Warriors Trilogy, December 12th.
Yes, it's December 12th. I won't say the opponent, but
say the opponent.
I'm not. I don't know if I'm allowed. I think I'll get in trouble.
Don't.
I think I don't want to piss.
I don't want to piss off Brain Boy.
I don't want to piss anyone off. But yes, it is. I am on the Cage Wars trilogy. They haven't announced it. People are texting me wanting to know when I'm fine. I have no problem telling them. Like, no. I'm not sitting here waiting for someone to post about me. Yeah, I'm fine on December 12th, and people will find out who soon. But nothing stopped me from getting my hand raised, and I can't wait to go in there, go 5-0, and then take a little bit of a break and straight back into work. I want to get a couple of tattoos and then just relax and then go
Jesus.
Straight into it.
Absolutely. Any tattoos in mind?
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna cry.
Very quickly, Shane's gonna be like, "Come on, get us out of here."
I've an older dead brother.
Oh,
and we have a charcoal footprint of his footprint when he died. He died as a baby. He was a miscarriage. He basically, the umbilical cord is wrapped around his neck 3 times and basically died to lack of oxygen.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. But we have a charcoal footprint of his footprint at home. And I want to get it on my foot so that he's walking through life with me, because my middle name is after him. So my middle name is Ian David Gary, and his name was David. So I don't know, just because I'm like, right, well, if he's not here, so I want him to kind of be here with me. And I would have loved it, because he would have got a knockout in the last fight if that was the case, because it was a left high kick. So I'm a bit annoyed I didn't get it already. But yeah, that's what I want.
That's such a lovely sentiment. I'm so sorry I didn't know that at all.
I was only talking about it yesterday to my mom and to my dad, because, and my family. I was over my nana talking to her, and they're saying like, maybe this is a reason as to why I am so confident, or I am so like loved. I feel like that, like, and I have this energy about me, is because my family went through such a tough time, like losing their first kid, and then not like literally less than, he was born October, and then the following November I was born. Like, there was literally like, mom and dad didn't waste any feckin' time, I can tell you that. Like, straight back on the horse.
What your mom calls him?
Yeah. And then out pops me, and like, she was only telling me last night like how like literally every Saturday my nana would be over at 9:30. My uncle would be over at 10:00. They'd all end up being there. And my mom's like, right, just take the fucking baby. I need to clean my fucking house, because all of you seem to be here. And like, the fact that everybody, like, I had this so much love because the family went through such a tough time.
Yeah.
Maybe that is why I'm so confident. Maybe that is a reason why I don't care what I do, because I know no matter what, I'm going to be proud of myself, because I have people there that back me. And this is all a massive thing that, like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Wow. It's just, but yeah, that's mine. That's the one tattoo I want to get. I still have a couple more in mind.
That's a lovely
sentence. I have a good couple more in mind, but they're for different reasons. But that one's the one I've wanted for a while.
That's the lovely one. Well,
I have to take time off because it's going to wreck if I go spiral.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like that,
on
so.
Your feet. Yeah. Wow, that's such a lovely sentiment.
I guess we'll leave it at that then.
I'm better before I start bloody crying. It's like a roller coaster of emotions the last hour. I don't know whether I'm coming or going here. I'm like crying one minute, laughing the next. Bloody hell, Ian Gary. But listen, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. It was
thank
so good to have
me.
You in. And genuinely, hands on heart, I'm so excited for what happens for you. I really am.
I appreciate it.
And I wouldn't say that about many, so.
Well, look, as I say to people, it's like, hey, it's like, I appreciate your opinion. Even though I don't care about it, I appreciate it if it's for me. It's like, people are like to me, best of luck in your fight. I'm like, I don't need it, but thanks. I've had a great time and it's been good talking. It's been a while since we talked. Last time we talked was with Tackett and Chris that time. You cried then as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you cried. Tackett
was talking about his dad.
Tackett was talking about his dad and how, what did he say? It's a tribe to build.
It takes a tribe to build. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a family and then like I remember him saying it and then it was just, yeah, it got you. He got you good. He done well.
He did.
I remember saying to him, you done well, Tackett. You done well. And you were like, but no, like
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really exciting to be, you know, on the outskirts and getting to see like your progression and how, where you've come from to where you're going. I'm really excited for you.
As I say to everyone, well, and this will be the closing, we'll leave this. Sit back, buckle up, and just enjoy it.
Yes.
Because it's going to be fucking special.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to use this when it happens.
Work away.
I'm going to sell this, okay? This is my retirement fund.
Just make sure you put a pretty face, the picture of me. Like I'll do like a picture, like one of those, like, look at me, I'm gorgeous. One of them ones. Put it as the thumbnail.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I look forward to December 12th. 5-0.
Yes.
Let's go, baby.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for coming in. Ian Gary for the First Exchange podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.